And every time, and I believe that with all my heart. And if you don't, you will find ample opportunity to be distracted in your commitment to Him. So we believe, without a shadow of doubt, that God is good. And every time, we're talking about John the Baptist for the next 2 weeks. And if there is anything, you know, when Jack asked me to preach, he said, we're talking for the next few months about personalities or characters in the Bible. And I said, oh, just like Lucas, oh, I know what I want to preach about. I want to preach about John the Baptist. He said, it figures. Yeah, that's what my pastor said to me, figures. Because he knows that John the Baptist is a kind of wild man and likes to dress strange, you know. So he said, that's why, you know, you're kind of wild. I said, okay, since you think I'm wild, I'll get my camel skin and come to church and preach. He wasn't too excited about it. But this is as good as I could muster. But John the Baptist has always been a fascinating character for me, and in one sense, if there's anything like a patron saint, I would say I love John the Baptist. It's a guy who knew what he was about, extremely focused, and was willing to live for it and to die for it. I'll be preaching next week and this week, and this week I'll talk about the message of John the Baptist, and next week I'll talk a little more about the man himself. I'm reading from John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. I'll share two passages of scripture that will be our guiding passages in the next 2 weeks. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8 says, in case, if you find it, say amen. Okay, we got to wait on a few more people. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. In John chapter 5, verse 33 and 35. It says, you all went to see John, and he bore witness of the truth. Verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. These two passages demonstrate two aspects of John's life. It says he was a burning and a shining light. In other words, you could see John and you could feel John. He was not the light. He was not that light. He came to bear witness of the light. He came to present the light. He came to talk about the light. But you could know that he's there, and you could feel that he's there. He was not a man to be ignored, nor was he a man to get annoyed either, to annoy. John the Baptist, what was his message? In the book of Matthew's, I should say that all of the Gospels dedicated a significant amount of time to talking about John the Baptist. And not only the Gospels, but the Old Testament prophesied that John the Baptist would come in the spirit of Elijah. I like Elijah too. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, The message of John the Baptist, first of all, he came to preach repentance to the people. This is the voice of one crying in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for the Lord. John's message was a message of repentance. He was calling the people to turn from this wicked and untoward generation and to turn towards the coming kingdom of Christ. And John preached repentance without reservation, turning away from sin, disobedience, and rebellion, turning away from turning your back on God and turning towards God, changing your mind about sin, changing your mind about God, and changing your mind for God. And this sorrow about sin was supposed to lead man to repentance, and it was supposed to lead man into a relationship and to prepare their hearts for the coming Messiah, for the coming kingdom of God, to receive the Spirit of God. Because John says, there is one coming after me. He said, I am going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said, and you need to clear the way to set your life right, to receive the Spirit of God and to be placed into the kingdom of God. So John preached in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, he says, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from sin. A life committed to doing evil. And turn to God. Now, usually when you say sin, people have the idea that you're going to go out and do something extremely bad. And that is right. That is a sin if you go out and do something extremely bad. But it doesn't only take into the position of active rebellion. It takes the position of passive indifference to God. The people who live their lives all the time, supposedly good, but are indifferent to the full claim of God upon their lives, they too are living a life that is contrary to God and in sin and need to repent. John was aware of that. That is why he spoke particularly to the scribes and the Pharisees who came. He said, ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why? Because here was a group of people who were known to be religious. Here was a group of people who were known to fast and to pray and to give tithes. And to dress right, which seemed very contrary to how John was living his life. And they were coming to hear John. Why? Were they just curious? Why? Because it was the new fad of the day? Why? Because it was the social thing to do? There is a happening out in the desert now, you know. Was it just the new spiritual wave? There are people who follow spiritual fashion. Whether it's the prophetic movement, or it's the this movement, or it's the that movement, they go out there. And the Pharisees are coming now because there is a massive movement of people towards the desert to see John, to hear John, and to be baptized by John. And he said, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You have not done anything worthy or to demonstrate that you have repented. You have continued the same way to demonstrate your religiosity. And in no way have you shown any fruit of repentance. He said, go back. I am not going to baptize you. I am not going to spend my time on you. You go back and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and then you can experience the blessings of God. That was John's message. The Pharisees and the Zealots, they were very interested in ceremonies. They were interested in the power of the church and the tradition of the elders. The Sadducees, they were on the other extreme. They were just slightly above atheists, but they did believe something. They denied the existence of spirits. They denied the resurrection. But they were religious people, and they felt that they were keepers of the doors to the throne of God. That's what they felt. But they came. They came. But their hearts weren't converted. They had never reached the place where they recognized that they were a sinner and needed a radical change on the inside. But they were coming. I caution you, brethren, as I caution myself, that we examine ourselves to see if we have repented. And that we have not bought into a social fad or a religious fad or a spiritual order without having a work of God deep on the inside. Repentance is a work that drives man to humility, to recognize that within yourself you have nothing. And you can do nothing to excite the graces and the goodness of God towards you. When you come, as the songwriter says, in your hands you bring no special prize. You bring nothing significant. There are lots of people who feel that when they come to God, they bring something good. They say, boy, I would be a great Christian. God would really use me good. You probably think you could sing well, or you're a brilliant person, or you have good business skills, or you're just plain beautiful. And that it would be a tribute to God to have you on his side. Well, if that's how you came, I would ask you gently and probably a little more strongly in the words of John, go back and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance drives us to recognize our own humanity and the sinfulness of that. It drives us to bring forth fruit that would show. When they came to John, they said, John, what shall we do? And John was very specific. He said, you publicans, you tax collectors, don't take more than you're supposed to take. And he, for every profession and every trade, he told them what they shouldn't do. Look at the life of Zacchaeus. As he stood there and he saw Jesus passing by, and Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down! I want to go to your house for tea. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, I want to change. He said, if I've taken anything from any man, I'm going to give back fourfold. There was a sense of restitution that he had done wrong. And he was worthy of the graces of God. And so he was willing to make up for that. And so John's words comes to us in this generation of vipers to re-examine ourselves and to see if we have adequately repented. And to the extent that we've lived in this world and have sinned from time, that we need to continually present ourselves in humility before God in repentance to be able to live the life that God wants us to live. So John asks the Pharisees, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John's message was a message that suggested and stated very clearly, as a matter of fact, that there is judgment to come. He said, who had warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? For behold, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. John's message was a message of coming judgment. For the people whose life is not right and are not preparing themselves to receive the coming Messiah. There, he said, is coming, and his winnowing fan is in his hand. He is going to do a dividing up. He is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He is going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate those who are pretending to be right from those who are really right. John's message was a message that there is a judgment coming. For those who do not know God and who fly in the face of God and who refuse to repent and turn their backs on the goodness and the graces of God, they will experience hellfire. Hello? That was John's message. Without apology, he preached that. He says, repent. He says, and do not trust. Do not think for a moment that you will say, I have Abraham as my father. That you could trust in these external privileges. That you could shift the need for repentance to the idea that you have done some kind of external thing. You come from a tradition of Christian or Christianity. He said, do not think within yourselves to say that we have Abraham for a father. He says, that does not work. Please not yourself, my friend. Do not rock yourselves to sleep or flatter yourselves in a fool's paradise thinking that you could escape into the kingdom of God without repenting. John's message was a message about repentance. It was a message about baptism. So if you repent, I am going to baptize you. And this baptism will be a demonstration that you have changed your heart. That's why he didn't want to baptize the Pharisees, because their hearts weren't changed. We love to do public baptism back home in our church. And I like to do public baptism. The last time I was home, we had a baptism. And out in the river, we went up to one of our rivers, Valencia River. And it was a holiday time, and there were a whole bunch of people bathing there, you know. So we started a little worship time. And then we took the baptism candidate out into the middle of the river. And all of a sudden, a whole hush came over the whole river community. There were people cooking, you know, curry duck on the other side, and some were baking fish over on the other side. But all of that came to a halt. As it seemed as if something real was going to take place, something spiritual, and indeed something spiritual was going to take place. We were taking people out there, and they were making a clear statement that what is happening in this world, I am no longer identifying with. I am going to go down and come out separated unto God. It was a public signal and testimony of where I stand on God's side. John's message was that repentance would lead you into the kingdom of God. He says, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's close enough that you can touch it. Why? Because John knew that Jesus Christ's coming ministry was right around the corner. And the presence of Jesus Christ would initiate the kingdom of God in its fullness. Jesus went on to support this statement when he said, if I, by the power of God, cast out devils, then behold, the kingdom of God is come. The kingdom of God is here. And the words of John the Baptist, except you repent, you will in no wise, no way will you be able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke those words also to Nicodemus, who was a righteous man, a religious man by his standards, and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, except you repent, except you be born again, you will in no wise see the kingdom of God. That was John's message. That there is a space and a place that in where God rules ultimately as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To enter into that space, to enter into that place, you must turn away from sin and away from the way of this world in order to get in. That's what the Bible says. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ came so that we might be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. John's message was about this kingdom of God that is at hand. It is as close as you can extend your arm. The kingdom of God is there. But it has come because Jesus Christ came. The Bible says from the time that Jesus heard that John was put in prison, he started preaching repentance for the kingdom of God. So as soon as John was put in prison and Jesus realized, hey, John's message is up, he started and continued from where John left off. The kingdom of God has been ushered in upon us. And it is to the extent that the kingdom of God is here on this earth for some time that the wrath of God hasn't come. So I urge you and I implore you, if there's anyone here who has not fully repented of their sins and receive the forgiveness of God and enter into the kingdom, I urge you by the mercies of God that you make sure today that your heart is right before God. John's message is a message of repentance. Get baptized and start to live for God. For even now, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Even now, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you are marked for ruin. Even now, if you do not know Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. And it will be so severe that you will not know, as we say in Trinidad, what hit you. That's why the writer says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. I believe John had an understanding of the terror of God, of the wrath of God. That's why he persuaded men so forcefully and so vigorously. John's preaching and message, not only that it was coming the kingdom of God, but he preached that the Spirit of God was going to come. He said, there is coming one after me, whose sandals I am not even worthy to tie. He says, but he is going to baptize you. He said, I baptize you with water, but he is going to baptize you with the Spirit of God and with fire. There is going to come a time when the Spirit of God will come in a new way and possess the lives of men, will captivate the lives of men, will activate the lives of men, will motivate men and women so that they are consumed so much by the power of God that they can only speak in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He says, there is coming that time. He says, I now baptize you with water, but there is something more in store. And I say that that something more is here. Hello? I'm just checking to see if you're still there, you know. You could say amen. He says, the Spirit of God is going to come. And John's message reminds us that the Spirit of God is here. To what extent has it captivated, motivated, and activated us? To what extent is the fire of the Spirit of God burning in our lives? Or have we relegated that the few years after Jesus Christ died? I know there are schools of thought and there are schools of brethren thought that has relegated the action and the operation of the Spirit of God to just that little period of time after Jesus Christ died. That was for the book of Acts. But I put forward to you today that the coming of the Spirit of God to take possession of our lives, to control our lives in a passionate and a fervent way, so the fire of God could burn in our lives and people will be unable to deny the presence of the child of God. I put forward to you that that is available to every one of God's children. Now, John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. The fire of God, through the Spirit of God, was upon him in such a way that it was burning and shining. John the Baptist, a man filled with the Spirit since in his mother's womb. And that was the message of John. It is very straightforward and unapologetic. The people then, they looked forward for a Messiah who would come in victory. But they didn't take note of the conspiracy and the secrecy of the coming Messiah, that he would come as a mustard seed and then grow full-blown into a big tree. They expected politics instead of spirituality. But we love politics. Jesus wasn't on politics, neither was John. Because the people who were on politics spent time propagating themselves. So when they came and they say, John, tell us who you are. He said, I am just a voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. When they came to Jesus and they said, who are you? He was not very eager to propagate himself. Very few instants Jesus said who he was. He said to the woman at the well, she said, I know that when Messiah come, he will show us all things. And Jesus said, I am he. One of the very few times that he had really stated who he was. Because he was not about politics. Politics is about propaganda and the appropriation of power. Jesus Christ was about the good news, the gospel, and the authority that would come for each person who repented and believed to live victorious above sin. And John says, I am going to show you the Messiah is going to be here. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes the one that we've been waiting for. Here comes the one that we've anticipated all these years. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, is right here in our midst. He has come. But if you're waiting for a political activity upon your life to experience the power of God, if you're looking for Jesus Christ to, you know, to propagate himself towards you, you know, to come in such a way, and there are a lot of people like that, they're kind of superstitious, they're always expecting the word of God or the power of God to come in some political way to them, some power way to them. When Jesus says the kingdom of God, it's come like a mustard seed, or like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man has to sell all he has, go and purchase the field, so that he could get the treasure. John's message was about a coming Messiah who would come humbly, but is the anointed one, who would not come as a victorious king, but as a suffering servant. And he has come. The day that John stood on the banks of the river and saw Jesus Christ coming, he says, "This is the one who I told you about that is coming after me, but really is before me." There he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's message. Why was John preaching? It is very clear. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 32, it says, "John came to show the way of righteousness." John's preaching was there to make a personal impact on every life, so that people will know how to live right. John came to show the way of righteousness. And you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots, the prostitutes and the sinners believed. And you, when you had seen it, repented not, that you might believe on him. John's preaching was to lead men to righteousness. It was personal, so that all of us would know, and the people then would know how to live. John's message was spiritual, so that people would know how to prepare themselves for God. He says, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He wanted people to know how to make contact with the coming Messiah and the kingdom of God. So his preaching was personal, so that you and I might know how to attain righteousness. But it was also deeply profound and spiritual, so that people might know how to contact God. But his preaching was also that the society might feel the impact of what it means to know God, so that people could change in their relationship. In the book of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the prophet is prophesying about John the Baptist, and he says, "See, I will send before you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day when the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." John's preaching is so that there will be a transformation in our society, else we will be subjected to a curse. Why was John preaching? So that you and I would know how to live. We would know how to live our own life before God and before the world that we live in, so that people could know the issues and how to deal with reconciliation, so that fathers could know how to love their children, so that children could know how to love their fathers, so that this generation could lead the generation coming after, so that the generation coming after could have respect to the generation that went before, so that society could be reconciled and people could know the presence and the power of God. This is the message of John. Lived near 2,000 years ago and highly relevant to our time. I recommend it to you this morning, as I recommend to myself, that we consider our lives before God, whether we are in the kingdom of God, and how are we living? Have we appropriated the full impact of the coming Messiah, the power of His Spirit, and its implication for the burning fire of God in our souls? Let us pray. Next week, as I talk about the person of John, the man, and what his life was like, he was just an very ordinary man, as you see. Ordinary in the sense that he was subject to all human frailties as we were. But he had committed himself to his calling, was willing to live for it and to die for it. And that made all the difference in the world. And to this, I ask you to commit yourself, the message of Jesus Christ, which you can live for and die for. This, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ and you sit in our congregation today, I ask you to repent of your sins, because there is a coming judgment, and it might be closer than you think. For even now, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Jesus stands on the threshing floor with his winnowing fan in his hand, separating the wheat from the chaff. It will be soon. Lord, we give our lives to you this morning in a fresh way. We turn our back on the sins of this world and of the flesh and of the mind. We confess our peddling of foolish ideas and that are not consistent with the absolute reality of repentance, faith in God and the kingdom of God. We ask that you would touch us deep on the inside so that we would turn away from sin, turn to the true and the living God. We give you our adoration and our glory this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.